Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. So who was the dove, who was the hawk in last night's presidential debate? President Obama defending his administration's use of drones in Pakistan. Mitt Romney, who's taken hard lines and previously bashed Obama for what Romney calls Obama's apology tour, might have set a record for the use of the word peace. Here's an excerpt.
I want to see peace. I want to see growing peace in this country. It's our objective. America is going to have that kind of leadership and continue to promote principles of peace. They'll make a world a safer place.
On the PBS NewsHour last night, conservative commentator David Brooks joked that Romney mentioned peace more than George McGovern probably did. Republican strategist Alex Castellanos on CNN said McGovern rises again. But it's not funny to Democrats who say Mitt Romney shook his Etch-a-Sketch on foreign policy. Did it work? Former Bush spokesperson Ari Fleischer said the use of the word peace was to lure female voters. So let's check in with a group of undecided so-called Walmart moms in a Walmart focus group in Florida. Christina Bellantoni, a political editor for the PBS NewsHour, had an eye on them. So, Christina, you watched their dial meters ticking up and down. What'd you see?
Well, one of the things that from these groups of moms that they actually have been talking to throughout the presidential debate season, they don't like confrontation. They prefer hearing about visions for the future. And so both the president and Mitt Romney scored well, not only when they talked about sort of their own vision for how you can achieve peace, as you just mentioned, or achieve strength at home, but also when they turned the focus back to domestic issues. For it being a debate about foreign policy, these men managed to talk about education policy.
Right.
They managed to talk about the auto bailout. This was an area that every time they turned the conversation back to being here at home, they scored the highest. And they also scored the highest. The moms were receiving very well talk about working together and partnership, which is not something that you hear a lot of in Washington at this point. Foreign policy is sort of one of the few areas where that can actually happen, in part because these men actually agree on a lot of their foreign policy positions.
Well, at some of the high points for each candidate on the dial, we received this information from the people who did the Walmart focus groups. Romney scored high when he said he didn't want to get dragged into military involvement in Syria and wants to make sure the U.S. makes friends with the people who do come into power. He also scored high when he said we want the young people in these countries to know peace and know they have a bright future. So that did seem to register.
Sure. And also when the president spoke about how difficult of a decision it has been to send troops into war and how he takes that personally into account, how he thinks about their families, that sort of a thing, some veterans issues, which didn't exactly come up, but anything like that scored really well. And then also every time he pressed Mitt Romney to say, you're a flip-flopper, you have a bunch of different positions on this, that did not fare well. And Mitt Romney, same idea. When he went after the president as weak or the president with the apology tour line, that actually fared pretty poorly.
Well, that's got to be frustrating for Democrats because, as you know, they are accusing Mitt Romney of completely flip-flopping. David Rowe, the reporter writing in Reuters, agrees. He says, if Romney wins this election, it will arguably be the latest and greatest shift to the center in presidential campaign history, in particular on foreign policy. Did any of these women in this focus group mention that this was a Romney that maybe they hadn't seen during the primaries?
That's not what they're looking at. And that's definitely a political way to view it. And that's what the president's team, of course, is doing. And the president has been out on the stump today already hammering his rival on this, saying he's got so many different positions. And look, there is a record for that. But what these women want to hear, what all women really generally want to hear if we are going to generalize this population, are specifics. What would you do? How would you make my family stronger and safer? How would you make this country better? How would you help schools? That's what people want to know about, and they're worried about the economy. And so when it comes to, well, you had this position once and this position another day, they're not really looking at your nuanced language on Syria, for example. But another thing that's really important to point out in this is that when you talk about female voters, you're not talking about all female voters as a monolithic group. Primarily, single women tend to vote Democratic. And when you hear all the talk about reproductive rights issues or abortion rights, That's about making sure that base of the Democratic Party turns out. If they're scared that a Republican candidate would take away some of those rights, well, they're going to show up. When you're talking about the appealing to the middle, the Walmart moms, the reaching out independents, defining your opponent, especially in these battleground states, that's about married women. And generally, it's about white married women. So that's a very small segment of the population, but they are issues that these campaigns and these candidates know exactly how to talk to them. So that's why you kept hearing the return to that domestic policy last night.
Well, in fact, let's define the Walmart moms. 2 years ago, a bipartisan polling team from the Republican firm Public Opinion Strategies and the Democratic firm Momentum Analysis identified Walmart moms as an important voting bloc, one of the few persuadable demographic groups, and they've been measuring what they think since 2010. In 2011, these firms working together said that Walmart moms make up 27% of all registered female voters. They represent about 14% of the electorate. And according to these researchers, they say Walmart moms helped President Obama win in 2008, but then 2 years later helped fuel sort of the Tea Party movement and the Republican wave. So, you know, researchers seem very interested in these women. But as you said, and I'm so glad you said it, because women resent being talked about as a voting bloc. These women who are in this focus group, some were Republicans, some were Democrats, some were undecided.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that you've seen these campaigns have been real pretty clear about their outreach to this group for a long time. It's also, when you look at the messages in the ads, I mean, there's one we actually just ran on the NewsHour the other night. It's so blatant. It shows, I think it's called Daughter, and it shows a woman holding a beautiful little baby girl and talking about, you know, her fear about the debt and the deficit. I mean, that's the sort of messaging they're trying to appeal to women like this, that the president has not helped your children's future. And then the message today, the president has a new to-the-camera ad where he specifically talks about it would be an honor to be your, you know, it's been an honor to be your president, and I want to keep it up, basically. That's totally about appealing to women. The men have already mostly decided in this race.
Well, and by the way, if people are wondering, am I a Walmart mom? It's defined as women voters with children under the age of 18 who've shopped at Walmart at least once in the last month. And in this focus group last night, 6 came in undecided, 7 leaning towards Obama, 7 leaning toward Mitt Romney. After the debate, 4 of the women remained undecided. 2 went decisively to Romney, and 3 said they'll support Obama. Of the leaning, you know, of the people who were leaning towards a candidate when they came in already, 5 leaning towards Romney, 6 toward Obama. During the discussion, 8 of those afterwards, this is again according to the people who did the survey and as reported in the National Journal, 8 of those said Obama had won the debate. Only 1 gave Romney the edge. What was your sense after seeing the dials go?
It really was sort of a draw. For anyone that is trying to get new information that's going to make them make a snap decision in this race, you didn't really get that. You got a little bit more text. You got each man sort of defining his vision. The most fascinating thing for me was the, and not just this Walmart moms group, but the dial testing done during the closing statements. You know, the president did pretty well in that. He made, you know, specific appeal to the country, and Mitt Romney's did not perform all that well. His speech was good. I mean, both of them, this is the moment. This might be the last moment you're actually speaking to voters. And we don't know yet how many people actually watch, but it's probably upwards of 50 million people, maybe even higher, closer to 60, 65. And these debates have been very important. And so each of them trying to make that closing argument and seem presidential, and they both really were able to do that. And so that's an area where, again, you get to the sort of draw or tie idea. And so women, they have a hard decision to make here. And typically, they're the last to make up their minds. They really factor in the debates. They really factor in things like the conventions historically. And when you look at polls and talk to pollsters about that, this is something that is not an easy decision for, particularly for these married women.
Christina Bellantoni, political editor for the PBS NewsHour. Christina, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Have a good one.